Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour on a Monday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you.
I should have made the random question, and it's not important. Does anyone like that stupid float commercial from the NFL? It's the worst.
That thing is in my wife and I have. It is in my head so much. So
I hate it.
The AI commercial that's on TV.
I hate it.
I'm dead serious. I heard it yesterday early on. We went to the store, and all of a sudden she just, come on, ride the float. They ride it.
I hate it.
Oh my!
Cody's very upset about this.
I was right there with you until I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy into it, and I'm also going to be this way, and it's just going to be in my head, and I just have to deal with it.
AI generated trash.
It's just going to be that way. You just have to accept it. You're going to keep hearing it, and it's not going away.
Yeah, it's only week two. That thing's going to be running for another 3 months.
Yeah,
You just have to accept the commercials during said time.
Or maybe they'll have a different version of it in about 6 weeks or so. But it'll be AI just for you again.
It's awful. Most of the AI stuff. Did you see the Fox's like Aaron Rodgers AI thing? It was terrible too.
I wasn't watching pregame.
It was like he was slowly morphing into the different versions or whatever. It's awful.
I'll make this joke. The reason they need to make a new one is because they have, you know, Joe Burrow in it, and he's not going to be playing for the next couple of weeks.
That's true. How are you doing?
Yeah,
The Chiefs are 0-2, so people aren't feeling great in Kansas City. There's no way, even though your team's 2-0, you're feeling great either with Joe Burrow likely out for the season.
So I actually, believe it or not, I don't feel good, but I don't feel bad, if that makes any sense. There are a lot of doomsday Bengals fans right now. Oh, the season's over, all this other crap.
You just lost your starter for a full season again. It doesn't really matter. He's not ending the Super Bowl.
The concept of everything is bad. Like they cannot win the Super Bowl with Jake Browning as their quarterback.
Which means,
however,
Drew, you should be rooting for them. I hate to say it. You should hope that the Bengals stink.
I'm not
you
that type of
Joe
fan,
Burrow
and I never
for the season. You should hope that they get the ninth, seventh overall pick.
I am not that type of fan, and I never will be, to where I am rooting for my team to lose on purpose. I will never, ever be that individual.
Cody, that is a ridiculous statement.
Yes, thank you, Jake.
Gold, if they lost Patrick Mahomes for the season, you'd be hoping they were the number one overall pick.
No,
not by week two. Not by week two. That would be a take. Like somebody on the station, maybe you would have.
That would have that take. That's absolutely my stance.
Not in week two. I think it would be in this exact hypothetical where their quarterback is out. It would have to be week six or seven, and at that point in time, but not after 2 weeks. I'm not, especially when Jake, I can't believe I'm defending Mr. Burrow, lover over here, Drew Nixon, but Jake Browning has played good enough in his career where I think they can win some games. Now I'm skeptical.
He's a top 25. He's better than a third of the league, I think, at the quarterback position.
I'd have to sit down and rank them out, but I will say, look, I didn't think the Bengals were making the playoffs with Joe Burrow. So we have a bet. We have an outstanding bet. I feel better about the bet, even though they're 2-0, that Jake Browning's the quarterback, because I'm not a believer in their defense, because they've played Joe Flacco, and then they played Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, who should have beat. I don't know what the hell happened. They should have won that game.
Somebody on the text line is absolutely correct, Cody, and this is the reason why they shouldn't tank, because they get John Ross with the ninth overall pick.
They also got Jamar Chase with the third overall pick.
I understand that, but that was an obvious selection. They would find a way. Because it is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Look, here's the truth. And I understand it's always hard to root for your team to lose. And I wouldn't root for it under normal circumstances when you have the guy that you want.
I can't.
Cincinnati, in the position they're in, with Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow and et cetera, it is either win the Super Bowl or it is a worthless season. It really is. Well, and they cannot win the Super Bowl with Jake Browning. They can win the Super Bowl with Joe Burrow, who is now injured for most likely the season. So unless they think there's some miracle chance that Joe Burrow could be available for an AFC championship game, if they by some miracle
is that what you're banking on?
If that's the case, then fine, play to win. If not, you should be rooting for your team to have the seventh overall selection and get like a real cheap star to go with.
It's too early to declare that. I think
as a head coach, I understand. If Cincinnati
loses their next three games, then I'll be like, sure, yeah, it's over. You're 2-3 and all that.
Figure it out.
But at 2-0, you can't just punt on the season like that. Not when you gave money to Chase and Higgins and Hendrickson, even if it's like a 1-year deal thing with Hendrickson. Like you can't do that yet. But I get what you're overall. I agree with that theory. It's just too early to do it. Later on in the year, if they're trending to where like they got to win 2 in a row to get in the final wild card spot with Jake Browning, at that point, yeah, just what are you doing? 9-8's not doing anybody any good.
You've actively hurt yourself at that.
Someone says, Drew, just put the Hooters outfit on now and end it so you don't have to stress about it. Why worry about it for months? Just do it now and
we're
be done with it.
We're just as big of a risk as he is, are we?
Our bet's not involving the Chiefs, though.
The bet is not over with. I am still sticking to that. I'm not trying to get out of it. I never have.
Can Browning win 8 games for you, basically, is the question.
I do want to ask, though.
Can he win 8 games for you?
If Jake Browning does, let's say they make the playoffs. Uh-huh. Can we make an adjustment where because it's Jake Browning that you guys each were at one day?
No. The bet is the bet. Injuries come into play. Life happens. Bleep happens. The Chiefs have injuries right now. It's part of the reason they're 0-2.
I'm not trying to get out of it. I'm just saying. I wonder if you guys would be more. How much do you guys believe that the Bengals are out?
But then what if they trade for Kirk Cousins?
They actually should look at that.
I will say, but I don't really know. Yeah, like you are confident that Jake Browning is the 25th best quarterback. I think he's probably like the 35th best quarterback.
Ooh,
I don't know about that. Or 32nd. I don't know.
I think he's probably like the anywhere from 22nd to 26th.
And that game against Jacksonville, that's the thing. He threw three picks. That's why
he's not better than Trevor Lawrence or someone who would give him a job.
He played when Joe had the wrist injury, mm-hmm. the way that he looked, but also the fact that
his 10 career touchdowns, the way that he looked, he averaged like one touchdown a game. I'm going to say he's bad, but like, I'm going to sound like he's Joe Montana.
But the fact that he threw 3 picks in like the second half of that game and they still won gives me some reason to believe that they will find a way that if he can limit the mistakes, then I think they can make the playoffs. It is, though, again, the if.
Considering their offensive line is trash again, it would be, in a lot of ways, I would say damning to Joe Burrow that he has missed the playoffs 2 years in a row and that Jake Browning comes in with a bad offensive line and he makes it.
Oh, system quarterback is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's kind of a bad look for Joey B.
Sure doesn't like that when you say that.
I don't know what to say. I'm just saying that would be kind of a bad look for Joe Burrow.
Unfortunately.
If the first time they made the playoffs in 3 years was when Jake Browning did it.
As I've said before, you guys can knock Joe Burrow as much as you want to.
I said he's the fourth best quarterback in the league.
Hang on. You can knock Joe Burrow as much as you want to, as much as the text line wants to. As I've said multiple times, I am a Bengals fan. They're 2-0. The Chiefs are 0-2.
He's ready to kick Burrow to the curb now.
No. I didn't say
Jake
that.
Jake Browning's time.
Don't come at me with the recklessness of talking smack right now when the Bengals
are 2-0.
They've won
3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years. I can talk as much smack on the Cincinnati as I want. Chiefs could be 0-10 and the Bengals could be 10-0. And I could still talk trash. I got ultimate leverage in this situation.
You guys trashing Joe Burrow is not going to affect me because as long as the team is winning, you're
throwing him out like trash.
I think they're going to stink with Jake Browning. But what I'm saying is if Jake Browning made the playoffs and Joe Burrow couldn't, that doesn't look good on Joe Burrow.
I think Zach Taylor, and this is something that came up as well, Zach Taylor coaches the game differently for whatever reason. It seems like it looks like the offense looked easier after Joe Burrow went out. The offense, it was really weird. And Zach Taylor
again,
was
not a compliment.
No. It's not a knock against Joe Burrow as much as it is a knock against Zach Taylor. He's not, for whatever reason,
he's not standing up to Joey. He won't tell him what he wants.
I think he's a little bit timid in how his approach is being handled, where I think he could help make it a little bit easier on Joe Burrow if he had, you know, the guts to maybe be able to say, this is how I want the offense run, and this is how we're going to do it, because you will be better, even better than he was last year, which was an MVP-level type of quarterback.
Yeah.
He makes it easier for Jake Browning, you know, and from there, it's really good.
Joe Burrow.
Oh, I hate it.
That's the AI commercial. Joe Burrow has missed 17 games, probably about to add 14 more to
him. If he misses the season, this will be 3 out of 6 years that he has had a season-ending injury, which is very concerning.
But we'll see. Our bet is very much alive now. Very much alive. You're 2-0. Browning needs to go 8-7 probably down the stretch for you to win the bet.
Yeah, 500.
So we'll see.
I think he can go 500 and they can make the playoffs. I will say this. It is going to be funny. It'll be even funnier, though, if they do make it with Jake Browning.
No doubt. Way funnier.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's talk about the Chiefs defense a little bit, because in week one, Ladd McConkey was wide open. Keenan Allen's out there torching him. No pressure on Herbert. a couple things certainly were improved. I feel better about way the improved defense today than I certainly did a week ago. The Chiefs were able to, for the most part, shut down that entire passing attack. Jalen Hurts threw for 101 yards, okay? They connected on one big play to Devonta Smith.
They only had like 217 yards total as a team.
So I felt better about the secondary. A lot of the communication stuff was corrected, and that's a great sign, and that seemed like the most correctable thing. If there's still something, though, that throughout the season Spagnuolo is going to have to do, and that is manufacture pressure, because, Cody, when they did not blitz, and that was pretty rare yesterday, they could not get pressure. So the Chiefs blitzed Jalen Hurts on 16 of his 25 dropbacks, 64% of them. That was the highest blitz rate under Spags since 2019. This is a guy that is known for blitzing, and this was still the highest percentage of blitz on dropbacks since he's been the DC, essentially, right? And then Hurts, because of that, had the quickest release time in his career. 2.11 seconds was his time to throw against the blitz, the quickest of his career. That's a big reason why I think the secondary looked good, right? Because they weren't asked to be on an island for very long, very rarely in the game. So they go hand in hand. How sustainable is that? I mean, they're going to blitz because they're going to have to, but other teams will make you pay for that more than the Eagles made them pay. And that's the scary thing here. But the defense was worlds better than what it was in week one.
Especially like quarterbacks who've been around the league. I can't remember the person who sent out the stat. I wish I could remember now, but they've done 14 zero blitzes in 2 weeks. That means when you send like the house and you just go one-on-one coverage and it's working to this point, but that's way higher than last year. So they're clearly all about like, we're sending the house all the time for the first two games, which is kind of weird. The defense, I will say, was the single biggest positive coming out of that entire game. For as much as we are frustrated today that they're 0-2 and they got to try to figure out a way to win Sunday Night Football this Sunday against the Giants, the single best sign of the entire day was how they played on defense. You know, part of the reason, Gold, is they were motivated. They were flying. They were moving. They were physical. And yeah, they had to blitz to get pressure, but they got pressure.
Yeah.
And it affected Jalen Hurts. And it slowed down their offense effectively to a complete grind. The Chiefs' offense gift-wrapped them 6 points. And still, they only held them to 20. So, like, that was the best part of the entire game for the Chiefs by far. And if they're going to play defense anywhere close to the level they just played against Philadelphia, they will win some games even without their offensive weapons.
They're going
to
need it.
Because they got the Ravens and the Lions, who are currently two of the best offenses in football, coming up against them before Rashee Rice even gets back. The Amon-Ra has had, like, 200 yards and 3 touchdowns in the Lions game. Malik Nabers, who they're getting ready to see, just had 2 touchdowns and 170 yards or whatever the hell it was. And I just mentioned the Ravens, who dropped 40 on Cleveland, who's a pretty good defense in their own right. And so they're going to have to play that level of defense to beat some of those teams. So, like, I took that as a massive positive.
That's where, and all the negative things that certainly are existing around this team and the mistakes, and we've gone for the last 3.5 hours or so, we've gone through them, and throughout the week we'll talk more about concerns and big picture stuff with this team. I feel better about things right this second as a team than I did a week ago. And you're like, how's that possible? I understand they're 0-2. Yeah. Like, no kidding. You don't want to be 0-2. We all acknowledge that. Like, they got to start winning some football games very quickly, starting Sunday, how about, against the Giants. But the defense showed after one dreadful performance, they are capable of playing at a certain level. Doesn't mean they're going to play like that every week, but they're capable of playing at a certain level. Whereas the offense, I'm just convinced this is the offense until Worthy and Rice are back in the picture. So this defense better start playing at that level, unfortunately, because if not, they're not going to be in a lot of games. The reason why they were in this game yesterday was because of the defense. Plain and simple. That's it. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, otherwise they would have lost easily.
Yes.
And, you know, and look, and the other reason they've been in both games is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, again, I said the same thing after week one. When he's running that much, it is not a good sign for how things are going.
Yeah, leading rusher again.
He keeps them alive. It's not that. It's like, it's a good thing because they need it to win. It is not a good sign for how the game is going, if that makes sense. Obviously, it's good. It's effective. It's nice that he has that ability and can pull that rabbit out of his hat, lower his shoulder, run for first downs, do some stuff that absolutely puts a shot in the arm of the team. All of those things are good. It is, if you tell me that that's how the game is going for Mahomes, I know the game is not going great because it's requiring Patrick to do that rather than get it to his weapons. And so at some point, teams will, like, honestly, this is what's great. I hope teams start spying because at least that puts less people in coverage. Patrick Mahomes still in the end is not Lamar Jackson or some of these other quarterbacks that a spy is a regular thing that they operate under. And it's used as a way to stop a guy who runs for 1,000 yards in a year. That's not Patrick Mahomes typically, although he's probably on pace for like 700 yards at this point on the season. How many rushing yards does he have? Is he like the 15th leading rusher in the NFL at this point?
He might be.
I'm just starting to wonder if he's like the 15th leading rusher in the NFL.
Yeah, he might be.
I'm just like, I mean, it's getting a little out of control.
He might have better numbers than, yeah.
Might have as much as, not Derrick Henry, who had 180 or whatever it was in that one game, but Devin got more than anybody on the Chiefs.
Or Bijan Robinson, no. After that game he had last
year. Or Jonathan Taylor, who was also huge. Look, I'm not saying he's above the normal guys. I'm just making a joke that I think he's probably somewhere in the, like, he would be the leading rusher on a number of teams, not just the Chiefs. That's all. He is 16th in the NFL right now. He is 1 yard behind Christian McCaffrey. That is not, that is, to be clear, not a good sign for the Chiefs offense.
He has more rushing yards than Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yes.
This year.
And Jordan Mason. Chase Brown. And hell, Josh Allen or some of the other
Lamar
running
Jackson,
quarterbacks.
He has more rushing yards than Lamar Jackson
does.
It's not the formula.
It's not the formula you want to see in your Kansas City whatsoever.
I can't believe he only has 1 yard less than Christian McCaffrey on the year. That's just stupid.
All right, let's get back to something. Andy Reid was running late, and then we got into our other segment, stock up, stock down, and I was joking. I said stock down was third down atmosphere and third down PA announcer. As we all know, last week, the Chiefs' main PA guy, Dale Carter, quit. And he gave his reasoning. I'll just take him at his word. I have no idea if there's more to the story. Basically claimed that he was asked to make a change to his third down call.
He
did not want to do that. So then they said, all right, we'll have someone else do the third down calls, but you could do everything else. And he said, I'm out. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what happened.
Yeah. According to him,
that's what happened.
His side of the story.
I had some people send me video from the stands yesterday, and they said, hey, did you hear this? Now, peel back the curtain. If you sit in the press box, the windows are pretty thick. You can't hear the outside PA announcer. There's actually a separate press box announcer. So you can hear the crowd on loud plays, loud moments, but that's about it. You can hear the national anthem, but you can't hear it. So I did not hear the PA announcer, but this is audio and video from third down, the new third down call. What do you guys think? What did you make of the change? Instead of it's third down, instead of that, it was. And 15.
Okay, so it's pretty clear that they wanted some more energy.
That was the whole thing. They wanted more excitement.
Why does he say,
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Everyone had a call and reaction. I'm not saying it was perfect, but Gold, when he said the old PA, Dale Carter, would say, and it's
third down.
Everyone does the thing. And it's third and 15. It just sounds.
It's forced, you mean?
Yeah.
Even more forced and awkward?
I wish you would just, like, could it be shorter? So it doesn't sound like somebody saying goal.
Someone said
at a soccer match in Argentina. He's saying it like a completely different version of it.
The first time they heard it, people were just like, "Oh, this is different," because you're used to the other. And then someone said it just got annoying as the game went on.
Ooh, didn't like it. I don't know. The yardage is unimportant. Like, can we leave that
out
for sure?
That kills me.
Can we just say
You don't need to say the yardage. People can look at the yardage and figure that out. Like, you don't need to have the exciting call and 15.
Because it's going
to
be way less exciting if it's third
and one
and inches. We don't need it, you know, like, no juice there. Man, he held that one.
And I apologize. I don't know this gentleman's name. I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he's doing what he was told to do and all that.
He's giving them what they want
exactly.
From a team perspective.
My understanding is this was the PA announcer that was doing stuff for them already as well. Like, they had two of them always. So he's in his spot. He's doing his job. Anytime there's change, people have to get used to it. I must say,
I don't think this exact change will stick. I don't think this exact change will stick. I don't think people like it.
From the 816, those who are saying it sounds like Michael Buffer, I want to make this very clear. I'm not allowed to cannot say anything.
Yeah, we cannot.
Anywhere close or even somewhat resembling the phrase he says. I, every year, get an email from corporate and then forwarded again from our boss saying, do not say anything like the thing he says, even changing the words or the cadence a little. That man's got good lawyers, is what I'm told.
Oh, we have so a bold take for the
A1-6. We stay out of the way.
But yeah, I mean, maybe this is exactly what, I mean, look, Dale Carter quit. If that's exactly what they wanted him to do, then I guess it makes sense why he said no. It depends. How bad do you want to keep the job or not, I guess, is the answer.
From the 816, I think the new announcer is the reason they're losing. The reason they lost yesterday.
Wow. Yeah. They lost the game before, though.
I hope there's some feedback given.
The road, though, for that
I hope there's some feedback given to them that fans, I will say the overwhelming amount of text that I got from just friends, that audio clip that I was sent from people, I haven't found many people that are a fan of the switch or at least the new style.
From the 816, they want to know, or from the 913 rather, I'm sorry, Cody, they want to know if you've sent in your audition tape.
We've talked about this on
Friday. I told you I don't have the right voice for it. I mean, I guess we're doing it the way he just did it. Maybe I'm closer, but like not quite. And again, I don't know that it's clear that the team wanted some different.
More excitement, I guess.
Energy with it. Tighten it up. That could be 4 seconds shorter. I don't know. It just, part of it is, this is like the college, like there was like a, he's been doing it for 20 years. So he's just kind of used to it. So I'll get used to the new guy's call. I know at some point.
I guess.
And I won't think about it the same way. Much like the Chiefs wore the free Rashid. Do you want me to print you up a free Dale Carter shirt?
No, definitely not.
That would actually be hilarious. So, that would be so
someone
good.
Someone says, can you play it again? Sure. Right, one more time.
From the 19-yard line, it's the
every time.
The and 15 every might be what's time. Getting me.
Yes.
Third and 15.
Like we're supposed to be so much more excited than it's 3rd and 15.
Yeah. They gotta work on that, game day crew. Work on that, please. Just telling you. Trying to help you out. We're telling what the people are saying.
This is the whole problem. Like Drew's got a problem with people in suits. This is the whole problem with consultants.
Oh,
you know?
Consultants flat out suck.
Just coming in here and being like, you're not doing it right. Let's mix it up here a little bit. They gotta,
we need a change.
So that they
no,
said that
don't.
They did something for their job that day. They got to tinker with something.
Yeah, consultants are one of the greatest gigs you can possibly have. Yeah. You show up in a city. I don't care where the consultant for anything, but you show up. You're not around them ever. You're there for one day, and you've got all the answers to fix everything without knowing anything about that market you're in or the stadium you're in or the workplace you're in, and they just come in and they want everything to change. And they also get to collect a check. And then when there's down the road when it doesn't
work. If it works, it doesn't work.
Yeah, all right.
I already consulted, so my job here is done. I feel about consultants the way you feel about people in suits, Drew. Too many.
It's just, yeah.
Get in the way.
Just unnecessary. We need to make a change. No, we don't. The third down call is totally fine the way that it's been.
What's the third? You haven't been. What's the third down call in?
Oh Lord, I couldn't tell you.
You haven't been. Okay.
What is it at Wisconsin? Well, they got a third down call for that.
It's similar to this one, I think, but they don't give the yardage. It's third. like he holds.
Yeah, just
and then
leave
down.
The yardage out. Maybe that'll help.
You know what? Actually, yes, that's a simple solution.
Next home game against the Ravens. Just leave the yardage out, and maybe
third down.
Maybe everybody will be on board.
Yeah. Way better.
I agree. That would definitely be
somebody
better.
Mentioned that they, I don't know this, of course, you
I'll
guys know better than me,
check,
but
please.
They got the, that's good for a Chiefs, and everybody says first down, they took that. I mean, I think everybody has something that goes for a first down.
Yes.
Always.
The Patriots, I think, started that. K-State, actually, I believe, did a lot. That's good for a Wildcat first. I think they were one of the first in the area.
Yeah,
but everybody stole it from somebody.
Someone just texted me and said, hold the third for how long they have to go. So if it's third and one, third down. If it's third and one. If it's 15, you can hold it as
that
long as you
epic.
Want.
That would be epic.
That's a good text.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending, and we'll talk a little bit more about this backfield and the running back issues.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, of course, the Chiefs are now 0-2 after a 20-17 loss to the Eagles. They will get set for Sunday Night Football on the road against the Giants Sunday evening. Game right here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll find out later on the week, specifically on Wednesday probably from Andy Reid again, whether or not Xavier Worthy is on track to perhaps be back for Sunday's game. Today he didn't have any injury update, as it usually happens on a Monday. Did mention overall just his thoughts a little bit on the tush push conversation we've all been having without, you know, him wanting to get fined or anything. He acknowledged, like, basically, you guys all saw the same thing. No, they were false starting.
Yeah, and I would like that call.
Yeah.
Which you can't blame him for, at least on that end. Next up on What's Trending, multiple injuries hitting the NFL in week two. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow is expected to need toe surgery that will sideline him a minimum of 3 months. Jaden Daniels got an MRI in his knee. He's got a knee sprain. He's going to be questionable for their game against the Raiders next week. The Bears' Jalen Johnson is expected to miss a huge chunk of the year with a massive groin injury. And if you're just looking for Chiefs-related injury that might impact them, Ravens Pro Bowl edge Kyle Van Noy is missing or potentially missing multiple games due to a hamstring injury that he suffered Sunday as well. Those are all according to multiple NFL insiders, but a lot of injuries. And the Carolina Panthers, who already stink, just lost two starting offensive linemen for this season. Good luck, Bryce Young. Hope you stay upright.
Not good for Dave Canales either.
No.
Tonight, two games, though, to wrap up week number two. Monday Night Football doubleheader starts with Houston taking on the Bucks. That game in Houston, 6 o'clock kickoff. Then at 9 o'clock, a late one tonight, big AFC West game already in week two. Chargers going to Vegas to take on the Raiders. Raiders 1-0, Chargers 1-0. Somebody's 2-0, the only 2-0 team in the AFC West.
Yeah, because the Broncos blew it. It was correct call. Absolutely the correct call. They didn't get the call. It was kind of like that Cincinnati penalty. Broncos should be 2-0. They committed a penalty. They gave a team another chance to make a field goal. They blew it. They got to be
feeling sick. How about the Colts? 2-0. Daniel Jones.
Yeah, unbelievable. They haven't punted still. The Broncos have a good defense, so it's weird. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals win two games in a row, but still six back of the wild card. Their season effectively finished. Cags did homer for the first time since returning from the injured list. Salvador Perez knocked in five as well. Royals had a, you know, fine weekend, I guess, against Philly. Too little, too late. They played themselves out of it during the Guardian series, unfortunately.
Yeah, Salvi, 300 home runs. For
and 1,000 RBI. Congrats
as far as a catcher goes, yeah. He's that's going to put you into Cooperstown, in my opinion, when his career's done.
Other catcher to do that is in Cooperstown. Plus, he's loved. The writers will want to vote for him because he's loved.
Last said, What's Trending, local college football. KU is off. K-State fell to 1-3. They lose on Friday night to Arizona, 23-17. Things getting very ugly already in Manhattan. The Missouri Tigers, though, stay perfect on the year. A 52-10 win.
Dude, Hardy
against
is
Louisiana. Good. Transfer
he's
running back.
Stud, man.
Transfer running back looks really, really good. Missouri Tigers will host South Carolina this week. South Carolina not ranked after their loss. Also, their quarterback status up in
Sellers
the air.
Got hurt.
Yeah, that game is 7 o'clock, I believe, for 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, maybe, yeah. Saturday in Columbia, Missouri.
If Sellers was healthy, that could have had game day potential.
Could have.
If Sellers was healthy, they probably
instead they're going
the game
to Florida and Miami or something.
It turns out
Florida stinks.
I don't know. There are so many other good games for them to choose. Florida hosting Miami, it didn't make any sense. But oh well, here we are. The AP poll also at some point. We might have to talk about that tomorrow. The AP poll.
You get your college football. I'll sit out that convo. You know my feelings. I don't waste my time with the AP poll.
Oh, my gosh.
And you have an issue with it. I'm glad you're coming around.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is ridiculous.
Drew and I were in actual agreement before and we didn't even know it. I was sitting around talking to people on Friday night. He reiterated the same thing that we both feel. Going into the season, I thought if Missouri won the South Carolina game, they were going to go to the college football playoff. Because I thought, okay, there'll be a two-loss SEC team. They're going to be in the playoff. Now that win doesn't feel as big.
Yeah, I said on Instagram Live right after the game, I was like, it depends on how the South Carolina game goes. But that, I think if they beat South Carolina, they're going to be in the playoff. Of course, now with Sellers out, well, if Sellers is out, they better win the game if Sellers is out.
Yeah, it could have the opposite effect. It could really cost you at the end. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. I don't know. That's just a weird.
The AP
Missouri
poll,
Hardy looks
ace.
Perbula has been way better than I thought he was going to be.
He's very good.
And Hardy has been incredible. So, like, they have an offense.
Think about the three locals. I think before the season started, the consensus, I'm not saying there's not somebody out there that disagreed with this, but the consensus was that K-State had the best chance out of the locals to get to the college football playoff.
Yes.
Obviously, everybody was wrong. And Missouri has the best chance to do that now.
Kansas has the second best chance.
The question with K-State is how ugly does it get? They're 1-3. Do they salvage this thing and still find a way to sneak into a 6-win season? Or is it ugly, ugly, and they're a 4 or 5-win team? And that's the job that Chris Kleiman has now to make sure this thing doesn't get really, really ugly. I think they're on a bye this coming weekend. I'm not sure if they are.
They
or not.
Might be.
I know they
KU
played Friday.
Obviously was on.
KU plays West Virginia this weekend. I know that.
Let's see.
And then K-State just played Arizona last Friday, so I can't remember.
They are off.
K-State is okay. Yes, indeed.
UCF is their best game on the 27th.
Yeah, they needed a bye.
They
in the
need
worst
a reset.
Way.
Yeah, I'd say so. Probably for the best.
Game to pick that Florida game over Texas, Utah.
Isn't it crazy?
I know that I haven't got some strong thoughts about Salt Lake City, but this feels like a good opportunity
But game day is basically
there.
Now, I feel like we'll see if I'm proven wrong later.
SEC promotion.
SEC and Big Ten is all they're doing. They just said screw it.
Because they could have done the MUKU and didn't.
Yeah, they did Oklahoma and Michigan instead, which was SEC Big Ten. I think they're just doing that.
Is Fox going to the... I don't know where Fox
Big
is.
Noon?
I don't know where Big Noon's going. Of course, it's Big Noon, though. I don't think that game in Utah, that game wouldn't be at noon because it'd be...
That game has to involve a Big Ten school. That's the rule, basically, right? Because they're
over Big 12.
Usually Big Noon only goes to Big Ten because they carry a Big Ten game at noon.
Right.
So it's got to be
how stupid is that turned into?
It's got to be a Big Ten game against conference
it says,
play. Who is it?
Utah. We'll see you next Saturday.
They decided to do it.
They're going to Texas Tech.
Okay.
Texas Tech versus Utah.
All right. Good.
That is where Big Noon is actually going.
Might be the best game of the week.
So they're actually that must mean is there not any good Big Ten games next week?
I don't know. I'm just letting you know that
a lot of them are on NBC. A lot of the better.
Oh, is that the issue?
The Big Ten
Fox,
ones are
on Fox Sports website. It says Utah. We'll see you next week.
So that means that the Big Ten or the Fox does not have one of the better Big Ten games. Illinois plays Indiana. Is that on NBC?
Actually, excuse me.
Pretty good game.
I don't know what game day is doing. That's another one that they easily could have gone to. Illinois at Indiana.
Yeah, Florida stinks. Why are they going there? Just because Miami's good?
Maybe, but they missed their opportunity to go to Miami last week when they hosted USF. They felt like they were...
Drew, you're right. Illinois, Indiana, it's on NBC. That's why Fox said, we're not doing Big Noon kickoff. It's not on their network. So they just said, screw it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that's it's all about crazy. The networks and all that other stuff.
It's kind of ruined the game day shows, though, because now it really is. It's like, whatever it's not just like what's the best rivalry that week or matchup. It's like,
Big 12
it's good matchup, but also we have the game. And I get it. Like, I think we all understand why they operate that way. It just sucks because that's not how it always was. Sometimes they would go to game day somewhere and the game was on Fox. They didn't care.
They wasted.
TV partners.
I don't know why they didn't go to Arrow or to Columbia for that game because they could have used the Oklahoma slot this weekend. They play Auburn, who also is in the top 25. They wasted the opportunity by not going to the Border War game, too.
Yeah, another quarterback injury. Adam Schefter now reporting. Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy has been ruled out.
Oh,
for Sunday's game versus the Bengals due to an ankle injury.
That was quick.
So
who's
that was way too quick. He's probably going to miss multiple weeks. I don't know who their backup is there in Minnesota anymore.
Carson Wentz.
That's right.
It's Carson Wentz against Jake Browning.
What a disgusting.
That stinks of the most noon game of noon games of all time.
Get
that thing away from my television. Dear God.
I'm going to be locked in.
Carson. By the way, it helps Cincinnati's chance of getting to 3-0.
How do you feel
Carson Wentz?
How do you feel if you're a Justin Jefferson owner in this? Obviously, with JJ, it's kind of... Do you feel better?
Carson Wentz is
a probably getting to Justin Jefferson more than JJ McCarthy.
They still have Jordan Addison out, right?
Do you want to walk back here?
All I got to say is...
Do you want to pick your JJ McCarthy's already better than Sam Darnold take?
Okay, so we didn't get
Drew,
to...
Sam,
hang on. So,
I must
so,
say,
so
Sam Darnold would never, you know, would
so
never.
Hang on. So we didn't get back to my... We didn't get to my stock down take because Andy had come up to the podium. My stock down was going to be... JJ McCarthy is already on my stock down. I am regretting my comments from
last week. We got into it because you said that Sam
he's
Darnold,
JJ McCarthy is already better than him.
Already better after 1 week, really one quarter. that Sam Darnold never rallied the team the same way. Well, McCarthy's two starts in, he's played one good quarter, and now he's missing a start for an injury already.
If he's getting ruled out this quick, that makes me really question how long he's going to be
out.
Yeah,
the fact it was that bad.
Yeah. That's not on a Monday. They don't have to say already that he's ruled out for Sunday.
His O-line wasn't great last night, to say the least.
No. Falcons did a really
Is that more about their O-line or is it more about the Falcons' pass rush? Because the Bears, I can't remember what the Bears...
Falcons have looked good. They should have won week one against Tampa. I actually think the Falcons... I've been impressed with the Falcons. I actually think
James
they played
Pierce
pretty
Jr.
well.
Looks really good.
The only thing with the Falcons last night, it's still at one point it was a 9-6 game. It's not like that offense was really humming.
That new kicker, at least, you know, for them.
Five field goals. Did you see the funny post-game interview? So he was there with the NBC crew post-game, getting the game balls or whatever. And Bijan Robinson was there. And then Leonard Floyd was there. And so the kicker, Parker Romo, I think is his name. They're like, oh, have you had a chance to meet much of your teammates? And he's like, oh, I know Bijan. And she's like, well, what about him? And she points. It's Leonard Floyd. But he's like, I don't know. And Leonard Floyd shakes his head. I'm
Leonard Floyd.
He didn't know who Leonard Floyd was.
Unreal. That's so good.
Carson Wentz. Let's go. Carson Wentz on Sunday, baby.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Carson Wentz.
I like
beat the Bengals on Sunday.
Down to like normal records because the Chiefs are 0-2. I got to root for anybody that's 2-0 to lose.
Yeah. Go Vikings against Cincinnati.
Whatever the Cardinals have. Because you'd like to be right about your Cardinals pick,
NFC and the AFC side is all I'm worried about. Okay. I don't care how many wins
you
get in the NFC
Colts,
side.
Colts, you need them to lose, and then the Bengals, you need them to lose. Okay.
Running for the Colts to lose.
But that J.J. McCarthy, that aged like that did not age like a fine wine.
That aged like spoiled milk very
I'd like
quickly.
The Dolphins to take down the Bills on Thursday Night Football, even
good
though
luck.
That's never, ever, 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 ever going to happen.
Good luck. Is that the Thursday Night game this week?
Yes. Nasty.
That is.
Real quick, someone asked us on the text line, and we won't have the final answer till tomorrow. Someone said, hey guys, how did your Circa Millions picks go this week?
Depends on how you view it.
How was that?
We were 0-5 last week. Remember, we were trying to tank so we could get the quarterly last place $25,000
prize.
So we said, let's try to pick losers, which, by the way, is just as hard as picking the winners. Uh-huh. So we still are waiting Houston tonight, but we are 3-1 on the week. We needed to be 0-4. We're 3-1, and if the Texans cover the 2.5, we'll end up with a 4-1 week. Initially, we wanted the Bucks to cover, but now we're back to saying, screw it, let's go 4-1. So in other words, we don't know what the hell we're doing when we have six people trying to make a decision on a pick. That's the problem. Myself, Cody, Dusty, Rob, Bink, Speck. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Too many consensus opinions. Disastrous week for us. Disastrous week.
I would like to take 1 week off from making picks and see if it improves. Because I'm like 1-5.
You want to see who the rat in the kitchen is?
Cody wants everybody just to submit one pick.
Yeah. How about you all just submit the pick you like the best and leave me the
hell out
of it. But
what if there's duplicates?
For 1 week. Well, then somebody can choose the one they like the second best. Okay. Rank 1 and 2. But leave me out of it for 1 week because I think you might be right about too many cooks. And the fact that in 10 games trying to select a winner, we are 1-8 with a chance of going 1-9.
If you look at it that way.
We're trying to pick. Yeah. Technically, if Houston covers the 2.5, we'll be 5-5.
Yeah.
We'll be perfectly four and six.
Yes.
We'll be closer to like back to dead even after all this.
But basically we cost ourselves last place. We were too good this week. Mm-hmm. Sucks.
But this is the thing that's crazy is you guys are technically 1-9 on the picks
that's
that you're
what
desiring
that's what
to make.
Saying.
Yeah, that's nuts.
But the issue, as I said, that is true. The other issue though is I truly think and this was always gonna be the issue. It's fun, but
this is why you're a team.
When you have six people, the picks we select are the consensus picks.
Right, right.
So naturally, you're going to have if three people of the six think, you know, Rams -5.5, meaning Tennessee -5.5, that pick's probably wrong. The more people that agree on a pick, the more likely it is actually going to be the wrong pick.
Because it'll be the
favorite.
Because
it's the public's.
Public.
It's going to be the public's thought process, which usually stinks.
Which goes
so
to
it, this is where,
one pick per
look,
person.
We didn't want to all spend $700 on an entry or $1,000 on an entry. I get it. But this is the downside to that. This is going to be a problem all year.
I volunteer as the tribute. I will take the week off. You all just choose the game you like the best. Pop it in the old chart.
And then whoever gets it wrong is off for the next week.
Man on the pole. If four people win and one person loses.
Yeah.
I like that. That's fine. Look, Thank goodness.
Leave me out of it.
It was a better weekend overall. Did you guys survive guillotine, at least, it looks like?
I did.
Okay.
Actually, yes. Amon Ross, St. Brown, safe. I wouldn't even needed any other points from
I'm
anyone.
I'm still alive in the other guillotine. All five of my survivor entries are still around. So we had a better, it could have been a worse week, so I'm happy about that. My stake in the survivor entry in Circa is still alive, so that part was good. Otherwise, the Chiefs losing, not good. And our Circa Millions went the opposite way we wanted it to.
We are just, I mean, what's an
interesting
start
to the season.
It's a bad strategy to say, no, just pick the games you want and they'll go the other way. But this time it would have worked. And so it's so frustrating.
So you have the JJ McCarthy, Drew bad take audio. We'll get it saved. I don't have it, but I'll make sure Drew doesn't delete it from the system.
It was for his all 32 last Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
It was my thing in that last week was he played pretty bad for three quarters. He looked really good for one quarter. So I'd like to see a little bit more. And then he looked really bad for four more quarters. So, like, of the eight quarters he's played, he's looked good for one and bad for seven.
Yeah.
It's still very early in his career. There's no reason to, like, write J.J. McCarthy off. No. Although, they might, like, this is one of those, I don't remember who you said this about at quarterback last year. In a weird way, for 1 week, they might actually be better off with Carson Wentz. For 1 week, with J.J. McCarthy with no experience, are we sure that they're not just better off for 1 week?
Hard to say.
He's probably started 80 games in his career, Carson
Wentz. Okay, so it's not an all 32.
It would not surprise me if Carson Wentz looks really good for... Carson Wentz, a vet with Justin Jefferson. Addison's got one more game suspension,
I didn't
I guess.
Get Addison this one.
Yeah, he isn't. So it's...
Hawkinson, Jordan Mason's look good. Aaron Jones is reportedly not going to play, but Mason's look great.
Aaron Jones already ruled out.
Is he officially out? So there you go.
Man. So, yeah, they ruled people out.
A lot of injuries,
A lot of people getting hit with the injury bug.
He hasn't started. He started one game in 2024 for the Chiefs and one game in 2023 for the Rams. Hmm. He has made 94 career starts. Like, Wentz. You can definitely do worse with a backup quarterback. Counting versus Wentz.
I mean, this week we had Mac Jones against Spencer Rattler.
That's worse. That's worse, right?
Which one?
Mac Jones and Spencer Rattler is worse than Wentz and Browning. Because at least you get
not
Justin,
by much, though.
Although they dueled it out. They both put up some numbers.
At least you get Jefferson. You get Jamar Chase. And, you know,
I'm just talking quarterback matchup. On paper, which one would you rather watch?
Oh, I'd rather watch
Jake Browning versus Carson Wentz or Mac Jones versus Spencer Rattler.
Here's the beautiful thing.
I think it's still Wentz. I have to watch
the Chiefs are Sunday Night Football, so it's a red zone day.
Mahomes and Wilson.
You're not stuck on that game whatsoever. You get Sunday Night Football. During the if you're wondering, for those of you that like Red Zone Channel, on Sunday, the noon slate is Green Bay, Cleveland, Indy, Tennessee, Cincy, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, New England, LA, Philly, the Rams, that is, Philly, New York, the Jets, Tampa, Vegas, Commanders, Atlanta, Carolina, Houston, Jacksonville. The late window is Broncos, Chargers. Ooh, okay, I like that. Saints, Seahawks, Dallas, Chicago, Arizona, San Francisco.
So Dallas, Chicago is probably big Fox in a game of two bad teams.
Monday Night Football next week is Detroit, Baltimore. Monday Night Football. Detroit, Baltimore before
Let's
the Chiefs play Baltimore.
Let's go Lions.
Before they face both of those teams. Mm-hmm. Like a first-hand view of both of those squads. They got Detroit and Baltimore in the next few weeks.
Minnesota, a 2.5-point favorite against your Bengals, it looks like.
Raiders could be 3-0. They beat the Chargers tonight. Then they're going to get maybe Jaden Daniels back
all of a sudden. Yeah.
Because Jaden Daniels is questionable for next week. They beat the Chargers. They might get Jaden Daniels back. Who is Jaden Daniels' backup? Anybody know?
Sam Howell.
Still?
No. He's in Seattle. Hold on. Who the heck is
that man?
It?
Never leaves.
No, Sam Howell's in Seattle, isn't he? Unless he went. Oh wait,
it's Mariota, isn't it? I think it's Mariota.
Now we're okay. Sam Howell's in Philly.
I think it's Mariota.
Okay. All right.
Which is fine.
He is the backup quarterback. 31 years old. Okay. Someone's saying, was Drew's take worse than the Welch, Black Bortles, Blake Bortles take?
No, no takes are worse than that.
There's no way that take was worse than that.
Blake Bortles is the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's an... Yeah. I'll that's never have as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
I'll never have a take that bad.
Blake Bortles was all time. Drew's wasn't to that level. It was probably
three. I compared him to Sam Darnold.
It was
like
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. It was probably 10 notches below that. As far as...
It was still a really bad take.
It was not good, though. Yeah.
Still very wrong.
There's a serious degree difference in those
tomorrow, Nate Taylor going to join us from ESPN. We'll talk a little college football. Drew will have some thoughts there. All 32. We will talk more about Xavier Worthy, how the Chiefs should approach that this weekend. Another name that has been brought up that a lot of fans think should be getting criticized. So we'll discuss whether or not it's warranted or not. We'll do that tomorrow. The Drive with CDOT. Rob, up next.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.